everybody would stand.
Blessed be the name.
glorious name.
With a chorus. Chorus.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name. Against. What a powerful name it is, no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names.
Sing it.
You have no rival. No equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no right. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name.
Yes.
Above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Powerful name, Lord. Powerful name. You have the dominion, Lord, and the power. Praise you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If the ushers would come on up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love the presence of the Lord here.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Mike, if you would ask the blessing. Jesus, Jesus. This is a really old song. You should be able to meet and greet just fine with this. Well, God is great,
and he needs to be great. God is great in my soul. God is great, and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul.
Sing it again.
God is great and greatly to be praised. Jesus, my rock. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. I call him Jesus, my rock. I call him Jesus, my rock. I call him Jesus, my rock.
I call him
Jesus, my rock. Oh, Jesus, my rock. Jesus, I call him Jesus, my rock. I call him Jesus, my rock. I call him Jesus, my rock. Jesus, my rock. Oh, Jesus, my rock. To be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and he's greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised.
Praise the Lord, church. You can be seated at this time. It is, throughout the month, we've been showing our pastor and his family pastor appreciation. At this time, I want to ask the teens in the youth department to come on up. We're going to present Brother Wells with a card. Romans 10, 14, and 15 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I'm so thankful for a pastor that we have in this church. I'm thankful for the that's he deserves that. Brother Wells, can you come up here? This is discussed Wednesday night in the youth department. They're not just up here to be up here, but they want to pray for you. If we could do this, where's Kinsley, Landon, and Austin? We could get them to come on up here. Let's just pray for their family. And then, too, if we could just pray as a congregation. We don't know the things that they deal with before we see them, maybe on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, on a Wednesday night. I know that they get blindsided by things. Unexpected things happen. They get unexpected phone calls. And just pray for covering over this family. If we could, as a youth group, let's gather around them. And if you feel free to stand, if just put your hands towards Pastor Wells and his family.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah. This is a card we'd like to present to you from the youth group. And there's a surprise for you on your desk after service.
Thank you very much. Do I need to read it now? Yes. An extra special thanks, it says, to you. This card is good for one free babysit. Yes. What's that? Oh, from Celeste and Kara. What's that? Oh, it expires the 28th? Expires yesterday? Man, what a letdown. I can change that 7 to an 8 pretty easy.
There you go.
Thank you so much. Thank you very, very, very much. You guys have been so wonderful. I want to give honor to Brother and Sister Davis, who 5 years ago followed the leading of the Lord and invited me and my family to come here and be a part of this great congregation. Thank you, Brother and Sister Davis. I want to especially thank you. You didn't turn over a church that was in trouble or was on the verge of a split or had a bunch of issues. You turned over a very healthy, thriving, loving church, and they have done nothing but honor me and my family, and I thank you for that. It is an honor. It is a privilege to pastor you wonderful people, and I'm looking forward to the many more that I believe God's going to bless us with and the opportunity to minister to, and thank you so much. I know you go out of your way and you give us gift cards, and somebody was commenting this morning how I've eaten some pie. I won't mention who that was. The Lord will forgive her. But I have. I told her, I said, I've been, you know, putting on pounds from Pastor Appreciation Week, so you can't let all those goodies go to waste. I mean, they got to go somewhere. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Just what a wonderful privilege it is to pastor you wonderful people, and I sincerely mean that. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you would like to be anointed and prayed for, we'd ask that you would come forward. Let's remember Brother Al this morning. He's not feeling well, sick in body. Let's also know that they would especially remember their middle of housing situation, trying to figure out God's will and get all that worked out. And so I know that they covered our prayers as a church, as a body of believers in that situation. But if you have a need in your body and you would like to be anointed and prayed for, I know there are many needs in the house. If you have a need, why don't you just slip up your hand? God knows that individual needs, circumstances of that life. And if you would like to be anointed and prayed for, you would like to stand in the gap for someone else as an intercessor, then why don't you come forward as we begin to pray, and we'll anoint and pray for you in Jesus' name. Elders, if they come, would you gather around them? Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the awesome opportunity to be here in your house, God. Give you glory and praise to honor you, God, in our praise and worship, God. And we come before your throne room today, God, in need of a touch from heaven, God. Lord, that you would send ministering angels to help the situations and circumstances that abound in this service, God. Lord, for those who are not able to be here for reason of sickness, Lord, I pray, God, that you would minister to them, minister to the body, God. Restore them, strengthen them, raise them up, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you, God. We worship you, God. We thank you for your goodness, God, as we begin to lay hands and anoint those that have come forward, God. Let the elders of the church and the people bind together, God, believing that the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. In Jesus.
Ask in Jesus' name.
So beautiful, that precious.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, why don't we applaud the Lord right now for his goodness? Oh, you are so good. You are so wonderful, God. Hallelujah. You're my healer. You're my help. You're my strength, God. I love. My all in all. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, I love that name. Oh, I love that name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a pleasure it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Sister Davis, so much for stepping in this morning in my wife's absence, taking care of the music. What a wonderful job. Thank you. My wife sends her a greeting from being on the big boat. However, the weather has been so inclement, they haven't been able to get off the boat.
Uh-oh.
they would just have had a good time on the boat. I know she's somewhat disappointed. She was looking forward to visiting a couple different places, and because of the weather, it just wasn't conducive for them to get off or even one place to make port. But they are on their way back, and hopefully tomorrow night late, she will be back home, and I and the kids will be grateful of her return, I assure you. Why y'all laughing? I'm glad nobody's taking pictures of the house right now. It will be picked up by tomorrow evening, Lord willing. If not, y'all gonna need to pray for me. So good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. I wanted to remind you as you're standing, grabbing your Bibles, couple things, couple of events happening. Obviously, Tuesday night, harvest party. We're going to do this setup just a little bit different. If you're able to help Sister Connie and Sister Robin, they're going to be setting up all the black light, the stage and all that good stuff. They'll be setting up this afternoon at 4 o'clock. If you're able to come and assist with that, I'm sure that they would be grateful for your assistance in that. And then after understanding the end time tonight, we're going to ask any that can stay and help us set up downstairs, get the tables and chairs set up like they need to be. That way we will not have you, we won't need, try again. We will not need to have, there we go, a setup tomorrow night. We originally planned a setup time from 5:30 to 7:30 tomorrow night, but that would be taking up like all the, you know, nights of your week beginning anyhow. So tonight, if you can stay after understanding the end time, and we will set up downstairs and make sure everything's ready to go. We would certainly appreciate your help in that. And just remember, if you have kids that are participating in the black light presentation, they do have practice today and tomorrow night. So they are not out of work. They've got work to do yet for what's happening on Tuesday night. Tuesday night, 31st, 5 to 7, here at the church, harvest party, many kids coming through, and we need your help. If there's a couple blank spaces at the back to sign up for responsibilities and duties, and so we need all hands on deck to help us make this happen, and so we encourage you to be a part of that. Looking forward to a great time. We've got, there are many up here last night putting bags of candy together, little information cards, invitation cards in the bags, and so it's such a great time. It looks like the weather is going to be cold, maybe even rainy and nasty. So that means, obviously, when the word gets out that we're serving hot soup and hot chocolate and hot coffee, that means that we're probably going to be inundated with lots of people coming through, and we welcome that. We want that. When it's gone, it's gone. We'll serve it hot and good until it's gone, and when it's gone, it's gone. But we need a lot of people because we're going to have a lot of people, and so we need your help in that. I won't belabor the point. Tonight, understanding the end time from 6 o'clock to 7:30, and then again set up after that time. So we encourage you to come and be a part of that. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read three different passages of Scripture. And so if you'll kind of put your finger in Acts chapter 27, that's the last place we will read. And then Mark chapter number 4, we'll read there secondly. And then 1 Peter chapter number 3. We'll read one verse of scripture from 1 Peter chapter number 3. Then we'll go to Mark 4 and then finally to Acts chapter 27. Three different instances in the Bible having to do with sailing or being in a ship or an ark. And so I want to look at these three different circumstances, if you will, events in scripture, and hopefully parallel them to our lives so we can understand what it is and how it works. And if you were, I entitled it Sea of Life, the message, maybe more appropriately titled Sailing on the Sea of Life. And I just hope to be encouragement and strength to someone this morning, and that we would look at the scripture and from it be benefited. 1 Peter chapter number 3, begin reading in verse number 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Mark chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he being Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he, being Jesus, said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then one verse in chapter number 5 of Mark. And they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. In Acts chapter number 27, beginning in verse number 41, following into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, and the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped, or they escaped all safe to land. All three instances, circumstances of sailing on the sea, if you will, Noah and his family on the ark, saved by water. Jesus and the disciples on the boat, Mark 5 says that they came to the other side. They made it through the storm to the other side. And then Acts chapter 27, Paul and the other prisoners upon the ship, though the ship broke apart, they had to either cast themselves into the sea and swim or float upon broken pieces of the ship. They all escaped to land safe. Three different instances of sailing, if you will, but the circumstances surrounding the events I want to focus upon this morning, titling the message, The Sea of Life. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your word, or for our time together. We thank you for the beauty of your presence in this place this morning. We thank you for healings that have taken place and hearts that have been touched, lives changed. God, we come, Lord, to be consoled and encouraged by your spirit, Lord, and then turn from this place and do so likewise to others. We love you. We praise you. Let your word edify this morning. Let it strengthen and encourage us, God. Let us learn from scripture, God, what it means to serve you and how you are always there with us in every situation and circumstance. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Figuratively, we speaking, we are all sailing on the sea of life. Numerous times, the parallel is made of our vessel and the vessel of ships, stories in the Bible. The text of our message deals with three different ventures on the water. The first two, more common than the third, but each dealing with people, a boat, and the possibility of perishing. And with these stories, I want to again draw some parallels between these happenings, experiences in Scripture, and happenings and experiences in our own lives. I believe each of these stories presents scenarios we will often find ourselves in as we figuratively sail the sea of life. Parallels that hopefully we can see and gain strength from. That we can understand from these stories. That we can see in the scenes that are depicted here in Scripture. And we can parallel them to our own life. We can see how these things can apply to us. How that Noah and his family sailing in the ark. And the disciples sailing with Jesus upon the sea. And Paul and the prisoners in the boat, and how all of these stories, if we look at them and the details that surround the story, we can see that we have similar situations. We can make parallels for ourselves. We can see in these stories how they can apply to our own lives. The first story that we referenced, although it is an Old Testament happening, it is the Apostle Peter who references it in 1 Peter 3:20, where we read it. Are hearing it first, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a prepared. While Noah was building the ark, while Noah and undoubtedly his family and assistants, while they were building the ark, the Bible says, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. It was Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Noah, his bride, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their brides. Eight souls saved, the Bible said, by water. The rest of the world, we understand, perished. The rest of the world was not upon the ark. The rest of the world, save the animals that God had instructed for Noah and his family to take upon the ark. The rest of the world, everything that had breath, the Lord starts again with just Noah and his family. It is one of the more recognized story in all of the Bible. And it deals with people, a boat, and the possibility of perishing. As I begin to survey this story once again, I look back in Genesis chapter number 6. And as the Lord began to deal with me how this parallels to our own life. I read in Genesis chapter 6 where God is giving him instruction concerning building the ark. It's found in Genesis 6, verses 14. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof with the lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. These are the plans, if you will, that God instructed Noah concerning building the ark. The length, the breadth, width, height. Also, he told him, you put a window in it. One window, a window, the Bible says, shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou fashion it above. Evidently, best we can tell, and I know some others have had the opportunity to go and visit the replica of the ark in Kentucky, and they have some, and I realize it's some speculation as to how this window was created in the top of the ark to allow sunlight in when the sun would come in, and I began to think about that, and I began to look and think, well, now he's sailing upon this the ocean, if you will, the sea that is happening as a result of all this flooding and rain. And the only place he can look up is up. And I began to think about some other things. And I began to look at the plans. And I ask, and just kind of curious, where are the plans for the helm? Where's the plans for the wheel? How was Noah to steer this ark? And then it hit me. Probably no plans for a helm because there probably was no helm. So I began to think about this, and I began to understand that this is how it parallels in my life. There are some times in life where I'm sailing the sea of life and I have absolutely no control. I'm in this situation. I'm in this circumstance. I didn't create it. It's there. I don't have any control over the outcome. How frustrating that might, not that Noah was any mariner, but it must have been somewhat frustrating for Noah to understand that I am at the complete mercy of the water upon which we float.
only, best I can understand, the only view that he had in sailing on the sea of life in his time in the ark was just looking up. There are some times when it doesn't do you any good to look around about you. It doesn't do any good to survey the scene. It would have done Noah no good to look out a side window and see the waves crashing. It would have done Noah no good to think, well, if I had a helm and I could somehow steer it, I could get out of this place and I can move to where there's some calmer water. What are you trying to say, Pastor? Simply this. There are going to be times sailing the sea of life where you have absolutely no control over the outcome. You don't control what you're doing and what's going on. What I mean is this, is that there are times in your life and in my life where I have no helm and I cannot steer. And the only place I need to be looking is up. God, this is in your hands. God, it doesn't matter. If I had control, I couldn't do anything about it. Lord, I am simply sailing the sea of life. And in the midst of these circumstances, I don't have control. And so I look to you. The only window you said to build was one that was above. And so I just look heavenward. I can't control it. I don't know why it's happened. Maybe you're here and there's an illness in your body, or maybe you're dealing with a disease, or maybe you're dealing with a circumstance and you didn't create it. You have no control over it. You need to understand, do not be despaired. Do not be distressed. Do not have anxiety. Look out the only window that serves a purpose. Look toward heaven and say, Lord, I am in your care. You will not let me perish. Whatever the outcome is, it is your will, and I'm okay with it. Sometimes sailing the sea of life, we have no control. We're at the mercy of the circumstances that surround our life. But the Bible lets us know that even though they were few, 8 souls were saved by water. Thing that he was at the mercy of, the thing that he could not control. I didn't see any steering wheel in the replica of the ark. I didn't see a helm to guide it. Why? Because there are times in your life the Lord wants you to know you're sailing at the mercy of circumstances beyond your control. And the only thing you can do is just look heavenward and say, Lord, I know I'm in your hands. I can't put my faith in anything else. I can't put my hand on a wheel to try to control it. I just got to look heavenward and say, Lord, this is all I can do is look to you and say, you know where I am. You know what I'm going through. You know what I'm at the mercy at. And so, Lord, I just look heavenward and say, let your will be done. There are going to be times in my life that I am helpless to do anything about the trajectory of my vessel. I just have to trust God. It's hard. It's difficult sometimes to realize there's nothing that I can do. What a helpless feeling it must have been for Noah as he rocked and swayed and he chased this animal down and that animal down. And he was trying to get, it's using my imagination. He was at the mercy of everything else around about him with no control. And he just had to believe the same God that told him to build the boat, the same God that told him to pitch it within and without, the same God that told him where to build the door and where to place the window, the same God which didn't give him directions for a helm and tell him how to steer the ship, is the same God that's going to keep it all together and the same God that's going to bring him through it. And then there's times where we do have control. There's times, like the disciples that are on a sea that they are familiar with, probably facing storms that they had faced before. It's going to be times when, as we found in Mark chapter 4, there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. What about the circumstances on the outside start getting inside? What about when the water rises and washes over the sides and now I'm standing in it. Now I am at control. I'm in control. I have the helm and I'm able to steer, but my steering's not doing anything. I'm not doing any good with the control that I have. I realize that if I continue like this, it's a futile thing. I have control. I'm at the helm. I put the sail out and I'm trying, but I'm just not able to do what needs to be done. And then, as if that's not bad enough, my Savior sleeps. It's not a bad enough. I have control and I'm feverishly attempting to make sure I don't perish. And it seems as though God doesn't care how hard I struggle. Careth not that we perish. The Bible says Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship where the stern was. He's in the hinder part of the ship. He's where the stern is, and yet he was sleeping. Jesus, if at any time I need you now, you're there. You're in the hinder part of the ship. I'm pretty sure the disciples thought the words to the Carrie Underwood song long before she sang it. Jesus, take the wheel. I'm sure they were thinking, what is he doing sleeping? Does he not understand we could use all the help? And then I begin to look a little further. The Bible says that he was asleep on a pillow. What's a pillow doing in a ship? But then I begin to do a little more research and I begin to study. Well, what is this? The only time in all the Bible that word is used. And it's translated from the Greek pillow. And so I begin to look and I begin to think, well, what's the significance? Oh, the Bible always has a significance. Every word, everything that's there is significant. So why does the Bible acknowledge that Jesus is sleeping on a pillow? Now, take it for what it's worth. I'm not saying this is the gospel truth. But I begin to do a little research and I begin to study that even during Bible times, and it was some years before the time of the disciples, that mariners had determined that there was something that they could utilize to stabilize a ship in rough seas. It was called a sea anchor. And the sea anchor was a lot of times a big kind of a billowing parachute almost. It was this big old thing of fabric that they would, it had lines attached to it, and they could throw this thing out behind the ship, and water would go into this thing, and it would create a buoyancy in the back of the ship that would stabilize the ship during a storm. I began to do some research, and I found out that this was in fact the case, that there were many fishermen in that day and age that knew how to utilize a sea anchor. They knew that when a storm was coming up, that if they could get the sea anchor deployed and they could get it out in the back of the ship, that it would keep the ship stabilized and it would keep it pointed into the right direction of the waves, and it would help. I not too long ago, I read a book. It was a fascinating book, one of the most fascinating books other than the Bible I've ever read. It was called 483. It was the title of the book. And I began to read it, and I just became mesmerized. It was a shark fisherman. This was back in, I think, 2012, so not like ancient times. 2012, a shark fisherman and his mate, they were out in Mexico, and a storm began to blow, and as they were coming in, their motor quit, and they were so close that they could see the shore, and they got there, and he talked about deploying the sea anchor, trying to get the ship to stabilize, and how that he threw this thing out and hoping to keep the ship stabilized. They couldn't get towards the shore because the storm was coming in. They were able to make sparse radio contact, but then the radio broke off. And then the next, catch it, 483 days, he's lost at sea on a 21-foot boat in the middle of the ocean. He and one other companion who dies, perishes from starvation 120 days into the trip. And so for the next year, think about it, over a year, he is at sea on a boat by himself. But as I looked at the story and I recognized that he used a sea anchor to stabilize the ship. And so I began to look a little further, and I just wondered if maybe that pillow that Jesus was sleeping on wasn't a bundled up sea anchor. wasn't fabric that was bundled up together into a cushion that would normally act as a sea anchor. So not only is Jesus sleeping in the ship, not only is Jesus at the helm, he's at the hinder part of the ship where, Jesus, you should take the wheel. But he's also sleeping on what can stabilize the situation. Oh, and now I can see. I don't know about you, but I've been there. I've had times in my life where it's rocky, man, and a great storm has arisen, and man, it's going back and forth, and I'm giving it everything I can, and I'm rolling with everything I can, and I'm bailing when the water comes in, and I'm trying everything I can to keep this thing afloat, and I don't feel God in my life, and I wonder if he's even there, and I see him there, and I say, do you not even care that I perish? And not only do you not care, you're not even willing to take the wheel, it seems like, and not only are you not even willing to take the wheel, but you're sleeping on the thing that can stabilize the situation. Come on now, I'm preaching. Master, don't you care that we perish? Aren't you the least? How can you be sleeping? How is it that you are so calm that you can be cuddled up in the back of the boat asleep on a pillow? Well, we struggle and we fight and we do everything that we can to bring this thing and keep it from going overboard and sinking. Carest not that we perish? I thought to myself, well, it's kind of a dumb question because he's there too. Well, of course he cares that whether or not you perish. Of course he cares. He's in the same boat that you're in. Listen, you need to be reminded that though it may seem like he's inactive and though it may seem like he's, my God never sleeps nor does he slumber. And though it may seem like he's weighing down the only thing that's going to stabilize your life, you need to understand he's truly the one that needs to rise and say, hey, peace be still. And you just need to understand he's not going to let you perish. You're going to reach your Mark 5 verse 1. You're going to make it to the other side, to the land of the Gad. Don't worry. Don't be distressed. I know you got control and I know you've been fighting at the wheel and I know you've been praying, Jesus, take the wheel. But what you really need is for him to just stand forth and say, peace be still in your life. What you really need to understand, be still and know that he is God and know that he's there with you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to let you perish. It's going to be all right. You're going to make it to the other side. There is nobody with more of a vested interest in you and I making it to the other side than Jesus is. Sometimes we ride it out, and other times he stands up and says, peace be still. But in every situation, we can understand we're going to make it. We're going to make it. What about Acts 27, 44? We read about Paul, who is now a prisoner. He's appealed unto Caesar, and he's now a prisoner on a ship. Must have been a very large ship. The Bible tells us there are 276 souls on board. That's a lot of people on a boat. 276 souls on board, and many of them were prisoners just as Paul. Think about it. See, there are some times when I, like Noah and his family, have no control at all. Sometimes when I do have control, but the storm gets worse. And there's other times when others have control. Paul's just a prisoner. Paul does offer some advice and directive on what they should do. And at one point, they even go to let down a vessel, a smaller ship. And Paul advises them, Lord, hey, the Lord has shown me that you must stay with the ship. The only way not to perish is to stay with the ship. We read that while they're on the ship and Paul being there, Paul's doing the work of God. Paul, the apostle Paul, is the one that we understand is the apostle to the Gentiles. Wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. This apostle Paul is now a prisoner on a boat. He has no control. The Bible says that the ship runs aground, if you will. Becomes stuck in the rocks. And then the waves break up the hinder part of the ship. But here's the point. Because see, there's some times when I have no control at all. There are other times when I have control and it's still a mess. And then there's other times when other people have control and it breaks apart. But look at verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. All 276 souls were saved. Sometimes others have control and I have to trust God will save me in spite of their actions. I'll say that again. Sometimes others have control and I just have to trust God that He's going to save me in spite of their actions. They can run into ground. They can break it to pieces. It can end up a mess. But guess what? If it's God's will that I carry on, I'll float to shore on a broken piece. It really doesn't matter. I can trust God in each and every situation in life. I can trust Him when I have no control. I can trust Him when I have control and it's still a mess. And I can trust Him when others have control. And I can understand that when I'm sailing the sea of life, I don't have to worry. As long as I am in God's hands, He can bring me safe to the other side. Sometimes I got to grab on the broken pieces and say, Lord, You're going to get me to shore. Sometimes others make decisions and things break all up. But I've got to believe that I can grab onto some broken pieces and say, God, You promised me I'm not going to perish. And so here I come. Even if I got to float on a broken piece to the shore, I believe that You're able to save. Closing, you could stand to your feet. The beauty is that in all of these stories, the scenarios in some ways are the same. All have to do with people, a boat, and the possibility of perishing. But in other ways, they are so vastly different. One scenario, have no control. Another scenario, I have control, but it's still a mess. The third scenario, others have control, and it breaks apart. The beauty is that in all of these scenarios, none of them perish. Whether it's Noah and his family on the ark, with no helm to steer and at the mercy of the circumstances that surround their life, they make it. It eventually becomes lodged on dry land and they make their way out of the ark and prepare an altar, worship unto God, and they see the sign in the heavens of the covenant, the rainbow. They had no control. The one who has ultimate control kept them. Disciples struggling and toiling. The waves beat upon and in the boat. Thought he didn't care. Wondered why he was sleeping at the helm. Sleeping on the thing that could stabilize the situation. But he stood up and said, "Peace be still. Why are you so afraid? Why do you have so little faith? Do you not understand that I am still in control?" Paul and the prisoners on the ship, as it becomes stuck in the rocks and they wonder, "Paul, you must be crazy. Why would you tell us all to stay with the ship now that it's become lodged in the rocks and the waves are beating upon it?" And as the boards cracked and the ship began to moan and water began to come in, and they realized that they were in dire situation and circumstance. Some could swim, cast themselves into the sea, and others on boards and broken pieces of the ship. But so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. No one. No one who stayed with the vessel perished. Think about it. They all made it safe. Whether you don't have control at all, or whether you do have control, or whether somebody else has control, I can make it safe in the arms of Jesus. There's a comfort in knowing. Even when I'm in situations that I have no control over, I can look out the window and say, God, you have control. It's so good to know that as I sail the sea of life, as my vessel is tossed to and fro, sometimes it breaks into pieces, God always has ultimate control. Thank you, Jesus, for the comfort in your words. Thank you. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know if you're in the midst of circumstances that are outside of your control. Maybe you're being battered back and forth by the wind and wonder why. You just have to float along at the mercy of the waves. Know this. He's still in control. Maybe you're doing everything you can. You're bailing with all your might, and you're toiling, and you're rowing, and you're trying to set the sail the right way, and it seems like the more you struggle, the more you fight, the more water comes in, and you wonder, Lord, cares not that I perish. Oh, He cares. He's in ultimate control. Don't be afraid. Don't be of little faith. Before long, He'll walk the bow of the ship, look upon the winds and the waves, and say, peace be still. You'll be astonished. You'll be in wonder and amazement. And there are going to be times, and maybe you're in one of those right now, where other people are making decisions outside of your control. You wonder why it looks like you're destined for a shipwreck, to be broken upon the rocks. Even if that happens, understand this. There are broken pieces that you can grab a hold on to, and God will bring you safely to shore. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that these words are words of consolation and comfort and encouragement to your soul this morning. These altars are open. Maybe you just need to come and recognize once again, there's one window that points heavenward, and I look to you, God. You have ultimate control.
Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus,
Lord, don't you understand? They're making decisions. I'm just a prisoner on the ship. I don't agree with what they're doing or the way they're going, and it looks like a shipwreck is destined. Just believe that His words are true. As long as you stay with the vessel, you shall not perish.
Precious Jesus.
Oh, what words of comfort and consolation. You have control. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you even in circumstances I have no control. I'm just floating along at the mercy of the circumstances. I trust you. Even when it seems like you're asleep, God. But I want you to be at the helm directing the vessel. But it seems like you're asleep on the only thing that could stabilize the situation. I still trust you. I will not be afraid. I will not fear. I will have faith before I perish. You will walk to the bow of the ship and say, peace be still.
Grace to trust Him, Lord. Jesus, Jesus.
Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Whether I have no control, or whether I have control and I'm messing it up, or whether others have control, I trust you, Jesus.
Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus.
How can you mean it as you sing it? I may be dealing with this health crisis that is beyond my control, but I trust you. I may be dealing with a family situation that others control and I do not, but I trust you. I may be working my hardest, toiling and striving and trying to keep it afloat, but it seems like I'm sinking lower and lower. Lord, I still trust you. I know that you care. I know you have a vested interest in me making it to the other side.
I trust in how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust in.
Can we sing it one more?
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Can we lift our hands? Help me trust you. You'll never leave nor forsake me. Whatever situation I find myself in, sailing on the sea of life, I trust you. You have ultimate control over the vessel. And I know I will make it safely to the other side. Hallelujah.
Still I will trust you. Still I will trust you. Still I
when I have no control, I trust you.
Still I
when I do have control, but it's getting worse. It seems like you don't care. It seems like you're asleep at the hill. Still I trust you. Even when others have control and I'm at their mercy, still I trust you.
Still I will trust you. Still I will trust you.
Trust you, God. Oh, we thank you for your word. Thank you for words of encouragement and consolation. Strength to stay the course, God. To believe that you will bring us all safe to the other side. Whatever situation I find myself in, sailing the sea of life, I look heavenward.
and know it's all in your hands. And with that, I'm quite all right. It is well with my soul, for it is in your hands. God bless you for being in service this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.